This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism at Birmingham City University by Distance Learning. And this is the first podcast for the second week's sessions. And whereas last week I focused on the networks in which you're operating as a journalist, this week I want to move on to content. And that order is very intentional. You can't really start to think about content until you know the people that you are writing for or speaking to or tweeting for, whatever medium you use. And once again, there's going to be three different podcasts, each covering three key themes from this week. And the first area that I want to begin with is the kind of background to what you're doing as a journalist, the background to the content strategy that you might be putting together. And this can probably be a good starting point for this, I guess, is to start with this idea of the death of a story. Every so often, you'll come across someone talking about how the story is dead. In the reading for this week, you'll see Kevin Marsh talking about this. Kevin Marsh was the head of the BBC College of Journalism until recently. And he talks about the death of a story. More recently, Jeff Jarvis has covered the same sort of ground. And what I think this common idea comes from is that the information environment that we operate in has changed, and the possibilities for publishing have changed as well. And so it's always good to start with some real world basis for what you're doing instead of a hype. And I want to look at how news consumption and information consumption has changed in this first podcast. So one of the things that characterises the internet age, if you like, the networked age, is the sheer amount of information we have access to. The rhythm of news consumption has changed considerably. And so if you look at studies from Pew, for example, in America, you can see there's a point around 2006, 2007, at which point the number of people who grazed on news, as opposed to getting it at regular times, they became the majority. So in other words, more people were getting their news by grazing from time to time than people who were getting their news at regular times. And that shift in about 2007 in the US, which is obviously played out in the UK and other countries in a similar time frame, that change is really key, because that habit of news consumption, the newspaper landing on your doormat or popping into the newsagents or tuning into the radio, that has been altered by online news consumption. Likewise, online news consumption generally has overtaken its other cousins. So again, from Pew, in about 2008, the number of people who read the news on the internet overtook the number of people reading the internet in print. If you looked at young people, more young people consumed their news online than they did on television. And if you look at where people spend their time online, they spend more time on community sites exchanging news in a social context and information in a social context than they do on news websites themselves. So there's this trend towards a kind of an ongoing information consumption, an information ambience, information being all around us, rather than something that we seek out by regular intervals. And there's a very good study by the Associated Press called A New Model for News, which is well worth reading in a bit more depth around this. They did what's called an ethnography, which is where you actually watch what people do. You follow them around effectively. And this is useful because most research into news consumption is based on what people say they do. If you watch what people do, you will spot things that you wouldn't otherwise expect or even ask about. So they followed a number of people, not just in the UK, but in the US and India, and looked at their news consumption patterns. And typically you had, for example, people would get up, they might watch TV news, they might listen to the radio in the car. But then when they got to work, they would check their email every hour and they would get news alongside that email. They would receive email alerts, they would receive text messages. They might have a scoreboard on their desktop that took a web feed of sports news. So you're getting the workplace becomes a really important site of news consumption, whereas before it really wasn't, or at least not in a formal sense. There's a guy called Pablo Bochowski who published a book recently called News at Work, which is all about the workplace's role in news consumption and how that has become particularly important. And that's a really important factor in changing information consumption practices. So going back to that day, after the end of a working day, a person might listen to the radio in the car home. But once they're home, as well as watching an evening TV broadcast, they're on Facebook, they're getting more emails, more text messages. So we're getting news again, but in a domestic context. And I think the arrival of the iPad and tablets is accelerating that particular dimension further as well. So you're getting this pattern of news consumption where kind of work consumption and domestic consumption are playing new roles. The Associated Press study made a number of recommendations. It basically found that people were snacking on news. They weren't seeking out news because they were interested in what was happening. They were seeking out news during the day, for example, because they were bored. So if they were at work, they were just saying, what's on BBC News? And people felt a little bit unsatisfied with those snacks. They wanted more depth. And so one of the recommendations was to deliver depth. Another key recommendation of the study was to create what they called social currency. They noticed that a significant amount of news consumption came through social channels. It came through intermediaries. It came through email from friends, text messages, social media, Facebook, and so on. And so they recommended that news organisations should look to make it easier for people to share news and easier for people to find news through search. And I'm going to come on to that in a subsequent podcast. So they found a number of things. They found that news was connected to email. They found that lifestyles were particularly important, that it was multitasked. So they were consuming news at the same time as they were doing other things, possibly talking about it, texting about it, and so on. And they wanted depth. This is a good background, I think, to start from as you start to look at your content strategy, as you start to look at what you are going to produce content-wise for your online journalism project. I'm avoiding saying what you're going to write because that in itself is a choice. You might decide not to write anything at all. You might decide to use video or audio or even to create a platform for other people to communicate through text and other media. So whatever you choose, the point is you need to understand the context in which people consume information and news. And that consumption has changed quite significantly over the past decade. It's not regular, it's constant, it's grazing and snacking, but also people want depth. And it comes in different places and it comes through social channels. And as you look at your project, I want you to look at that network that you've been looking at in the first week and try and think about how those people consume information and news. And in the next podcast, I'm going to talk specifically about how you're going to make it easy for those people to find and share that content.